You're from Denmark?
The Twins.
Ah, oh, fuck.
And hello, good evening, good morning, good welcome one and all, and welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast and directionless commentary, Doctor Who, Sugar and Boo, all singing, all dancing, all TARDISing, all here, all of the time. I never got to work in radio, you can tell, can't you? I love the fact that we said, we always try to have a bit of quiet while we play the theme tune, and I say, right, shall I press play, and then Morgan starts talking. makes a change from John, but anyway. Immediately someone starts saying, oh yes, let's press play. Yes, I've got my headphones in. Anyway, hello, good evening, and welcome to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. We are joined, as ever, over there in Bonnie, Scotland, currently under lockdown and not allowed to see any more than two of his family in a five-day week. It's John and Morgan.
Hello. Morgan's really offended because there must have been some sort of lag because she didn't speak while the music was on. She's like, she's horrifically offended.
No, she didn't crash the theme tune, but I was about to press play and then she started burbling, so I had to wait.
Oh, okay.
No, you didn't do anything wrong, Morgan. Not yet.
No. Only that were true.
I've just realised, Mr. I don't want a cat because I'm allergic, and oh look, we've now got a cat, now has one of the biggest cat towers I've ever seen. Even mine.
It's perspective because you're seeing it from underneath. If Sean was just to push it towards us, it would be about that big. It's perspective now.
Oh, I know. So Morgan is little and the tower is far away. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, and another line's written by a notorious transphobe. Anyway.
Get a wizard, Harry.
We haven't been sued yet. We might as well start now.
Just on the back of that, you know how Morgan always comes to the front as she is now.
Yes.
I'm not comparing Morgan to the other, but do you know when they do that thing where in newspapers they have to say, "I found a rat the size of an Alsatian in my brain," and they put it up.
Yes.
And the perspective they do is they hold it on a stick right in front of the camera, so the rat looks the same size as a human. Whenever I see Morgan now, it's like John's holding Morgan up to show how much bigger, because Morgan's huge.
That's very true. I like that, yes.
Two nice perspective observational jokes from me on an audio podcast.
Yes. The person leading the charge, as ever, with visual jokes in an audio medium is, of course, the wonderful Laura Monmouth.
Hi.
And so, yes, we...
just because we had gone off in such a tangent, we'd forgotten.
That was quite impressive, wasn't it? I don't think we've actually gone as far as slagging off transphobic morons this early on in an evening. We should do it more. I did feel sorry for him, actually, because he's thrown his toys out the cot and said he's never going to work for Channel 4 again, to which Channel 4 went, "We hadn't called you, Graham." We weren't working with you anyway.
You haven't written anything for Channel 4 since when?
Good question. IT Crowd?
Well, the BIM, which ended about 6 years ago.
Yeah, that'll be the one, yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, he's one of those toxic men who still has to be relevant for some reason. And he's kind of up there now with Johnny Lydon voting Trump. I mean, I'd like to be shocked, but we gave up on you a while ago, Johnny.
The butter adverts.
Yeah, I mean, ever feel like you've been cheated? Yeah, not half.
Hasn't done anything for Channel 4 since the IT Crowd, which finished 7 years ago.
Well, there you go. You see, let that be a lesson to Channel 4. He's not going to work for them again now. Oh, no.
I'm not sure what Wiki doesn't have his writing credits. However, Father Ted, I was a massive fan of Father Ted, don't get me wrong. However, there are certain scenes in it which now could be construed as slightly off.
Yeah.
Big Train... Season 1 is shite compared to Season 2. He doesn't do Season 2. Black Books, he did the first 6 episodes of that. Season 2 and Season 3 of Black Books are far superior to Series 1. Series 1 also has Bill Bailey having to dress seductively. basically he's just a creep who just got caught out and now just has to direct his fire elsewhere.
Yeah, I think there is that, isn't it? Basically, because I mean, it's like the scene that caused all this is that scene in IT Crowd, which the original joke I think does work in that there's nothing wrong with coming from Iran. Leave it there. When you go to the next bit, that's when it gets horrible and nasty and really, really bad. I think. This is obviously my reading of it. And that's where you just like, there's no defence of that. You clearly had an issue there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big enough fan of IT Crowd to know other moments. That's just.
He's also responsible for the Ted and Ralph scenes in the Fast Show. Which, again, when you put that into perspective, again, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't know they were his.
The problematic things, and again, those were some of my favourite scenes in the Fast Show.
Yeah.
They
were good.
I don't know what went wrong.
I strongly suspect...
I don't know whether he's being piled money by American evangelists or...
I mean, it could be...
Something's happened. Something's happened.
Definitely. Well, it could be that he always had sort of thoughts. Or my own feeling on it is he stopped being relevant. And the only way he could find to be relevant was to be controversial.
Which a lot of people have gone down that route.
Yeah.
This is true.
There's the alternative... Alternative as well, that he's just got this kind of blind arrogance where, like if I said something that was clearly inappropriate, I would like to think that in hindsight I'd kind of go, God, I really shouldn't have said that. But this is
basically your Facebook feed that you're talking about.
But people pretty much, some people, Donald Trump's a classic, can't actually ever acknowledge the fact that he's done something wrong and then just pushes and pushes and pushes and reinforces how he was actually right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's just those types of people in the world.
And they do seem to be currently quite prominent.
Yeah.
Because it's like when even members of the Tory party said that the ballerina picture, she should go and train in cyber, was crass, thoughtless and senseless. And yet the people at the top, Hare Cummings and Hare Boris, won't ever admit they've got something wrong. Because even the one time Boris did issue an apology, he still managed to balls it up by actually not apologising.
Yeah.
And I think it's just this, it's this elitist, smug arrogance that some people have that they can never actually admit they're wrong. I mean, if I went through life never admitting I was wrong, I wouldn't do anything. I must admit I'm wrong about 3 times a day. I mean, I delete at least one post a day.
I'm possibly worried now, in light of what Laura said, that I am actually falling on the other side of this and actually never apologize. The only time I can remember saying sorry is that, you know, that way we go, well, I'm sorry.
I think, I know, we've apologised for pretty much everything twice by now. I'm sure of it. I mean, there are people on Digital Spy forums who need to apologise and still haven't. Good evening to Jonty, by the way.
that was me.
We miss him. Anyway, back onto more fun things. We kind of went dark very early there, didn't we?
10 minutes later, Doctor Who podcast, anyone? just while we're here, having like the most in-depth and serious discussion we've ever had.
Yeah, we just don't do this, do we?
Should have brought a podcast randomly breakout. maybe an episode could be watched.
It could be. Very quickly, do you want me to leave all this bit in? Or yeah, should we just get cut straight to...
Just in case Mr. Linhan never watches.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he does.
Watches, listens. Just in case he's passing through, just like things. I need something on my car journey to nowhere, really. I'm just going to go and think some dark thoughts somewhere. Now I can't go on Twitter. I'll just drive around in circles for a few hours and listen to something. He'll stumble across us.
Didn't he?
He'll be there. Hi, Grail. Loved your early work. You're a bit of a dick now. I mean, it's simple, isn't it?
Yeah, what she said. I agree with that. I fully endorse. These are not always the views of the individual are not always the views of the podcast. In this case, she's spot on.
Hurrah! The only person that probably doesn't agree is Morgan because she doesn't know who we're talking about.
Good.
No, I don't know what.
But to be honest,
all the time we don't know what.
Most of the time.
See, that's fair. That's fair. So not only have we had an in-depth conversation about something which we've never done before, we've also had the most brutally honest assessment as well. We've got brutal honesty from Morgan. Doesn't know what's going on.
She's not the only one. It has to be said. I haven't got a clue either.
Laughed. So that was a bit of a callback about apologies. So. What I will say is, Morgan, ignorance is no excuse. That's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I've got some cheery news before we start the episode.
Oh, hello.
You look on the iPlayer, it now says that all these episodes are available for over a year.
Well, have they updated? I said they would.
You did. Yeah. You did. Does that mean we might actually get through them all?
We might actually get to the end of Capaldi, yeah.
Wow. If we get to the end of Capaldi, and I'm sure we've had this discussion before, but it's not like I pay any attention or listen. If we get to the end of Capaldi, do we pick up Jodie, or do we let Jodie finish?
We're going to leave Jodie until she actually finishes. But otherwise, we might just end up. With the way that I don't know how much filming is going to get done or when the series, we might not get the series till 2022, so we don't really want to be doing series 11, series 12, and then go, oh, there's no more episodes.
Oh, yeah, good point. Good point.
Also, I think that it's good to have the Doctors in the context of being aware of their entire era, and I think it would be unfair to Jodie. I'm sure Jodie doesn't give a shit.
I know, to be fair, there is stuff that could come up in Series 13 which could tie into Series 11. All those shitty episodes in Series 11 could make more sense and on a rewatch in hindsight be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I did hear talk of the new series is going to feature some undead creatures in an Italian town, so there might be some sort of callback going on. I don't know.
Wow, undead creatures in an Italian town.
Yeah, it could be. It could happen. It could happen.
I'm trying to think of Italian towns to get the alliteration of vampires in Venice.
Yeah, I couldn't. That's why I bailed on it.
When you said undead, so I'm going for zombies in, and then I suddenly thought Zome. I don't know any
ghouls in Italian towns. Ghouls in Genoa.
That begins with a Z. That begins with a G.
So it's ghouls.
Genoa.
No, I said ghouls. Ghouls in Genoa. Ghouls are undead.
Ghouls in Genoa. Ghouls in Genoa. Yeah, okay.
We could have that.
Is it Genoa?
Genoa.
Genoa? Genoa.
Well, I met her once. Hey. Hey, Jamaica. No.
Jamaica. No, she wanted to go.
Hey, there we go. Thank you. Julius from Amsterdam. Anyway, moving on. I don't know why that punchline.
Now we're resorting for jokes from the Goon Show from about 1968.
Yeah, where's the soap? Moving on. these are actually jokes that Morgan might get, which is quite worrying. Right, so on the off chance anyone fancies actually sticking with us long enough to get as far as pressing play. We're on to series episode.
What's it, series 5?
Series 5, episode whatever we decided it was.
6,
is it? Yep. Series 5, episode 6. And this is Vampires of Venice. Ah, Corpses of Cagliari. We can have that.
Did you just Google Italian towns?
No, it said corpses, and that's the first one that came to my head because I've actually been there. So, Wraiths of Rome. I'm on a roll. We've got this.
So this is Vampires in Venice, and it was filmed in Croatia, which is always good.
Oh, that doesn't seem very fair. When they film it in Venice?
Too many.
Then they have to flood half of Croatia to make it look authentic.
So.
I love this. Terror, fill the canals. But there aren't any canals in Croatia.
The Canals of Croatia is a season 13 episode.
I thought it was a Big Finish special, right? That's them mentioned. Tick that off. So this wasn't on the original curated list, and none of us
are. This is for you two. This is
who was it who actually suggested putting this in? I have a feeling it might have been me.
It was you, yeah.
Why did I suggest it?
I don't know.
Excellent.
I didn't put it on there because it doesn't really have any relevance to the series.
Was it bringing Rory in? Was it the implications of the last episode? Was it?
Could be. I'm going to say just because I quite like vampires and I'm going to be watching horror movies shortly on a bit of a splurge. So I just thought I'd chuck that in.
Well, if you like vampires, then this is not the episode for you.
That's very true, yes.
I've got Shadow of the Vampire just hanging around. If we all fancy watching that instead, it's a good film.
I've got two box sets of Hammer horror films.
Just watch that instead.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Eddie Izzard as a vampire. Could work.
Eddie Izzard actually shows it. It'd be very good in the silent era in that film, I think.
Yeah.
When Malkovich is directing him.
Or we could always go for Dracula Dead and Loving It, which is hilarious.
We could. So that's another Leslie Nielsen film we've just referenced as well. Yep. We're doing good at this.
We're
from Spy Hard last time to Dracula Dead and Loving It this time.
We might possibly actually have to do some Leslie Nielsen films and then confuse people by making them a couple of serious westerns and no one will know what's going on. should we have a spirited crack at actually watching this?
Okay.
Or before Morgan chokes and dies. Please don't die on the podcast, we're not insured. So tonight we are watching Vampires of Venice, Series 5, Episode 6, Fill in the Undead here. Are we all sitting comfortably?
We are.
Excellent. And that case is tradition dictates when we press play, you press play, and we will directionlessly commentate you through all that happens in what it turns out is actually Croatia. And so we begin in 3, 2, 1, and play.
No, it's tennis. It says it on screen.
Quite a nice little chair, actually. Talking of chairs earlier. I do feel like they kind of really did like their Shakespearean era for this series, didn't they? Or for this period of Doctor Who, because Tennant was bouncing around Victoria, Elizabethan England quite often.
Doing?
And, he had a quick dalliance with Bill, didn't he?
This is true. It's probably an easy period of history to write about.
It's
recent enough that people are going to be more interested, possibly, than they would about sometime in the 1300s or whatever. And it's long enough that you can and enough happened in that period that you have so many chances to write.
And also, given the BBC's long and prestigious history of period dramas, the costumes are quite cheap, so they're already sitting in a back lot somewhere.
This is also true.
And the good thing about real historical stuff is that nobody's old enough to remember whether it was right or not.
None of it was right.
Yeah, but you know, if you're just like, the Doctor lands in the 1950s and everyone says, oh, well, that wouldn't have happened in the 50s, and nobody's going to say, well, in 1580, they wouldn't have.
That's very true. Most historians from that period are now dead.
What about her costume, Morgan?
I want to say about her costume. If you had to take a picture of her and then take her arms and legs and body away, she would look like a peacock.
I do enjoy this bit.
It'd be easier just taking a photo of a peacock.
What? Why? No. Why have we just completely disembodied her and then decided she looks like a peacock?
Oh, that every day's an adventure with Morgan.
I didn't realise Rory had that many friends.
I know, it does seem a bit weird. Just have this random amount of people. And several
of those people.
Yeah, and they don't. I mean, Rory has a weird, eclectic bunch of friends.
He does.
I don't believe they would be his friends, particularly the guy in the back with the tash and the long hair.
Yeah, no. There are four locals from the pub who just happen to figure they might as well just go and watch. But that's a remarkably diverse group of people who've never, ever met Rory in their life.
You never see them again either.
No.
You know, that's just like, and if that's not a kind of metaphor for marriage, I don't know what it is.
But am I right in thinking whoever is Rory's best mate / best man in that group of complete strangers, he never gets mentioned or seen again either. Which, again, does tie in with the metaphor.
Barely mention anyone at the wedding. So it's not like it's not like with Jack, we saw Jackie's friends more than once. We saw Rose's, like, random people. We saw it with Martha occasionally. So, you know, it does happen. Well, just not with Rory.
No, this is it. Rory doesn't even have family. You don't meet his mum or his dad or his cousin or anything.
A lot of people were speculating about stuff like that kind of online as well, because remember there's lots of Rory conspiracy theories kicking about.
Oh, are there? Oh, well, there would be.
There was the one, and going back to the kind of first episode, the 11th hour, if you see Rory's name badge,
it has the wrong year on it.
It would have been like about 12 years, you know. So, and then the fact that there's points where Rory clearly keeps coming back after certain situations that I won't go into too much detail about now, and people started thinking, there's something weird about Rory.
Oh. We need to talk about Rory.
Johnny Campbell is a name I don't remember seeing before or after in terms of directing episodes of Doctor Who.
He was the director and he was also in the Stag Night, so he's never heard from again.
He's actually the guy with the longish hair and the tash and the whatever, who forgot the 1950s. Like, yeah, he does.
I actually think we should pay close attention at the actual wedding in the finale, and wouldn't it be great if every single one of them was there?
Oh, we should do that, definitely.
And also, you see in the background, Bernard Cribbins is there, and you go, oh, well, you could be asked going to Donna's wedding, but...
Yeah, well, see, that's why he turns up this one. He felt guilty.
Absolutely.
Didn't get to make it to his own granddaughters, so he figured he'd just borrow somebody else's.
So yeah, no, but I mean, I don't even. There's definitely Stephen Moffat does write Rory in such a way that there is something slightly off about it, and they actually acknowledge the fact that stuff keeps happening to Rory in season six, and then it comes to fucking nothing.
That sounds about right. Yep. Do we cover at any point why no one bothers to look at a large blue police box which has materialised from out of nowhere in Elizabethan Venice?
Because they had loads of them then, obviously. And obviously with the TARDIS designed to fit into whichever surroundings, it makes perfect sense that, you know, given the amount of random police boxes that happen to be around Venice at this time...
Yeah, I mean, I know we understand why it can't change and disguise itself. We understand that, because only the Masters actually works.
And also because the BBC would lose a shitload of money if they suddenly started changing what the TARDIS looks like every time.
Oh, yes, there is a small little matter of
maybe that has more to do with it.
The marketing department. Yeah, I'm trying to maintain the mystery, if at all possible. But I know... there are certain tricks and trades and stuff, and if you're within 300 miles of the TARDIS on a Tuesday, you can speak any language because the translator will occasionally Bluetooth in. But surely, surely, when you're walking along and suddenly this appears in front of you and you have to suddenly steer left at the last minute and walk round it as three people fall out of it, you would kind of notice.
I mean, I know, you know, in terms of, like, canonicity, all that, you don't necessarily, but they do, and the books, they allude to the fact that even though the chameleon circuit isn't working, it still somehow manages to slightly, you know, your eyes almost bounce off it, unless it's dramatically appropriate that people...
Yeah, close.
Yes.
So obviously, like, in Fires of Pompeii and whatever, they go, oh, there's a big blue box, let's take that, we think it's something to do with the gods, blah, blah. So we're dramatically appropriate. Obviously, somebody goes, what the hell's going on there, blah, blah, blah. Otherwise, they're just like, really.
As hidey-ho, nothing to see here, move along. And if I watched a documentary about this sort of thing a while back, and if you want to try and go out in the sunshine, you have to go under a blanket and bits of you still burn.
Okay.
Joss Whedon did some very good documentaries on this very subject.
He did.
So there's no way you could go around. I know it's not bright sunshine, but it's daylight generally. No. Unless you've just suddenly decided to completely rewrite folklore.
I mean, it is a Stephen Moffat produced episode. So there is every chance that what you have come to know has been rewritten.
Yes, well, they're actually out there in the sunshine juggling garlic bulbs.
Technically, though, well, I don't want to give anything away because we're watching the episode. Even though I mentioned the fact there's a wedding finale.
Yeah, we've already blown the season finale. I think all bets are off tonight.
Well, are they technically vampires? Is the question I'm going to ask you.
Nope.
Oh, well, Morgan solved that one then. That's apparently not. No, right. I mean,
that is what we call it. That's what we call it. What do we call that, Morgan? But I don't expect an answer.
A rhetorical
question, correct?
I was going to say, if you're asking a question and you don't expect an answer, it would suggest you haven't been paying attention to your own family life for the last 5 years.
No, I've got an idea. If you ask a question, you don't want someone to answer it, you just don't ask it.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
No.
Yeah, again.
By a 12-year-old.
Yep. Yeah, again. Life's great mysteries solved by a 12-year-old. Brilliant.
I need another drink. It's not your place to say that. It's Mama's place to say that.
Yeah, but she's not here, so Morgan's filling in. I mean, this is the other thing. Back in the olden days of Tom Baker and stuff, they used to occasionally at least try and get their companions to dress up a little bit to blend in.
Well, yeah, I guess, but well, it's happened during the new series as well.
Well, I understand
there have been examples of particularly Rose did it.
Yeah, well, I understand the appeal of having Amy Pond dance around in fishnets and a short skirt. It doesn't really fit with the period and the time, and she would be people would look, people would raise eyebrows. This is troubling more than it should. It really is bothering me far more than it should.
Tegan wandered around for a whole season dressed as an air hostess.
Yeah, but to be fair, you can't go anywhere without bumping into an air stewardess. And they only ever wear the uniform.
Well, more appropriate one. I don't know.
I mean, air stewardesses are like cats in that they always look the same. You never see a cat in trousers or a cat suddenly, you know, wearing a shirt.
But you do see them in hats, so, you know.
That's very true. But air stewardesses, once given the uniform, that's it. That's all they can wear for the rest of their lives.
I know Leela did occasionally change, but she kicked about like in a kind of davagey type.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking that Adric just basically went everywhere in his pyjamas?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And his mathematic badge.
Yes, well, to be fair, I once got a house point for looking nice and tidy, and I've been putting that in my CV ever since. That gate wasn't even locked, Doctor.
It was not.
No. Just tapped it ever so slightly with the screwdriver, and it moved.
I've just realised that this was an infamous scene that was shown in the Jonathan Ross show the first time I saw Matt Smith being interviewed. And Matt Smith, once Doctor Who started, I've said this before, once he started in the role, he just absolutely got better at giving interviews. But yes. The Jonathan Ross show, I don't know if you can see it was dire. He just didn't know what to do with himself. And he didn't have anything resembling presence. And it got me more worried about how the show was going to go.
I think I can kind of sympathise a little bit with that, because you've got to. If I may draw a parallel with the musical world, as I so rarely do. When David Coverdale got the gig with Deep Purple. Word was he was a very shy, introverted little guy, and he went away and he came back 2 weeks later and basically kicked the door in and changed his entire wardrobe and was suddenly a rock star in capital letters. And I think that there's a certain thing that you can, when you adopt a character this big with this much history behind it, that it can be quite overwhelming. So the first time you're sitting there talking about it, part of your brain's going, shit, shit. Yeah,
well, I mean, I see that in hindsight, but at the time, you know, you're sitting watching and kind of going, oh my God, he does not have anything resembling presence.
Yeah. But was it a Christmas show?
It was after we had seen the regeneration scene, so it must have been between New Year and Easter.
Well, you see, he wouldn't have had presents. Thank you. That's our joke for the evening. Done. Tick.
But anyway, that actual scene, I actually hated it as well in the context of watching it in the Jonathan Ross show because I thought it fell really flat. But now it's probably one of my favourite scenes of this entire episode.
Yeah. But he definitely, I mean, I know we've said this with, because we never got a chance to see this with Eccleston, but we said this with Tennant, that you could see he grew into the part.
Yeah.
And developed and became the Doctor right up until the point he started phoning in because he was bored.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, again, it's weird because I think that the people that hit it running were Matt Smith and Capaldi.
Yeah. I think, we'll come to that in time, but I'm going to disagree with you slightly there. Because, yeah, I think Capaldi hit the ground running, and then from episode two onwards, they didn't have a clue what sort of Doctor they had, and they had no hold on it. But I think Smith hit the ground running, but it helped that so did Karen Gillan.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
Karen Gillan and her scarves.
Yeah, Karen. Yeah. The scarves of Amy Pond, which is another Big Finish book.
do you know, even though you're saying that, like, they didn't know what to do with Capaldi, he still did very well in the role, considering they didn't know what to do with him. And I think he should be kind of given a wee bit of kind of kudos for that.
You're using the at least he tried argument there, that's the problem.
No, not at all. You know, it's not the same as, like, you know, when people are saying, oh, Boris Johnson did the best he could. Yeah, but that's... It's like saying Stephen Hawking's tried to do a kind of 100-metre hurdle.
Hey, Stephen Hawking was an absolute demon at the can-can.
Capaldi did very well, even when he was given shit.
No, he did.
I remember that episode.
we'll get to it in the rewatch.
I believe it's on the schedule, yes. The shit given to doctors, I believe, is the phrase. There you go. See, look, they found costumes. They managed to get dressed properly. There we go. It wasn't that difficult after all. Granted, it's undercover and for reasons, but, you know.
Morgan, for goodness sake. Morgan.
I can't edit that out, guys, because this is during the episode. Morgan, bad Morgan. Go and lie down. Go sit in the corner.
In your bed.
I thought the TARDIS was landing again for a second.
Yeah, well, there's no way she's going to make it through finishing school with that sort of attitude. I've still can't get over how big your cat tower is. I mean, it's right up there. I know it's the angle, but it's right up there with the top shelf of your books.
Yeah. Well, do you know, it's not far off. It's about the kind of... Well, I'll stand beside it as a frame of reference. How's that? And then you'll have a bit of an idea.
Yeah, but you're only 4'2".
I am. Danny DeVito. So it's about the same height as me.
Yeah. It is. It's the same height as a slightly averagely sized Glaswegian man.
I'm five foot ten, so it's probably about 5'11".
See, you don't want cats being that high, they'll jump on your head.
Well, I got scratched yesterday.
I saw the picture. I still maintain that's part of the inoculation process. You are no longer allergic.
Well, I've not had any allergic reaction since. No, although I did pop up at the time.
She was doing it because she likes you.
Yeah. Well, she was doing it because she kept kind of going at her ear, and we were worried that there was something in her ear, and the only way we could check that out was for me to hold on to her while she was checked out, and had the short end of the straw.
You really did.
The short end of the straw?
Yeah, got the short stick there, didn't you?
You know the short end of the straw. It's the short bit at the end.
Well, you can have the it's the
I
short.
You, you, I can't admit I'm wrong ever.
No.
That's what they call it.
We've now invented the short end of the straw.
The short end of the straw.
Because John can't back down because he's a man. So it's now the short end of the straw from here on in forever. And there's Rory's best friend.
I just worry that he's Rory's stag.
He's going to go forward in time and he'll be doing the striptease on the night. I can understand this bit being Croatia, because Croatia's got quite a lot of nice underground caverny stuff. Don't they do Game of Thrones in Croatia?
I have no idea. Everywhere. Was it not the most kind of locations I've ever had in a TV show to date?
Well, they've never filmed it in my back garden.
Yep.
But you haven't lived, because they were in mine only last week. I don't know why, considering it's obviously finished.
They're just finally getting around to doing the reboot for George R.R.R.R.R. Martin's latest book.
G.R. Hartley. Imagine if HBO commissioned the 8 seasons of fly fishing.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Fly fishing. Starts off really good when it's using the plot from the book, but as soon as it deviates, my God, the ending was shit.
The season finale, when they suddenly felt the need to call in the French polishers, just did not work for me at all. I felt they kind of jumped the shark there a bit.
And the guy proclaimed he was right about that saddle. I don't know if you remember the Yellow Pages advert about the bike. He bought the bike and the dad was like, oh, you know, that saddle looks a bit high, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, vaguely, then, yeah.
Yeah, so it's on the Yellow Pages, and then the boy gets the bike and he cycles off, and the dad's looking out the window and says, I was right about that saddle. And it was because of his accent that I actually thought he said, I was right about that saddle. And then...
important. What does saddle mean?
It doesn't matter. You're one of the lucky generations that never needs...
Good luck explaining that one. Yeah.
Don't research it. Do not research it.
No, no, don't.
I'll tell you post podcast. Let's just say you missed out on a cultural phenomenon.
But missing out on it was actually proven to be a very, very good thing.
I'm not sure cultural phenomenon is the term I would use, but you were close.
Oh, he was definitely a complete cult. Oh, this is the new COVID testing facility.
Could do some decent lighting.
I quite like the mood lighting. It's quite nice. Shouldn't she have more teeth? He's got more teeth than her.
She's older.
Ah, fair enough. Why have they got purple lighting when everyone else...
At least the air came out of the right orifice that time, Morgan.
Get you using fancy words like air.
An orifice.
Yes. How because how does she not get... Again, having watched many a documentary on the subject, how is Amy Pond not now a vampire?
Because that's not...
they're not actually vampires.
But he said it isn't the title. That's the rule.
Well, Venice doesn't flow as well. Bitey fish people of Venice.
There's no
bitey bitey fish people of Firenze. There we go.
Just biting somebody once doesn't turn you into a vampire.
Oh, it does.
No, it doesn't. Oh, it brings you under their influence, and then you can subsequently keep going back and back and back, and then there's a bit of a kind of transfusion where they take some of your blood and blah, blah, blah.
Nice. They can get you straight away. I'm sure they can.
Wait,
that's what I got told.
You had a vampire and they bite your neck, or mosquitoes bit my neck. Of course, that means mosquitoes and vampires.
Does that mean you turned into a mosquito? Well, you aren't.
It does explain a lot. Yeah. Small, makes buzzing, makes funny noises, bloody irritating. Yeah, I mean, it's all there.
Got a net in the room to stop her getting in.
Yep. I quite like the atmospheric lighting aspect of this. I've got to be honest. I kind of like the... Again, given what I've just been reminded about, what we know is coming, that actually adds to the aquatic feel.
Yeah.
I've decided.
I have to say that I really like the sun in this. He's just a bit of a prick.
Well, he's a useless actor, but... I haven't said that about someone in an episode for a while, so.
It must be difficult to act in those teeth.
Oh, I'd forgotten it was that thing. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, no, it's that thing.
Yeah. They never come back, do they? Does he wipe them out, or does? Because they would have been a really good nasty enemy to have back again.
I think he wipes. Well, he doesn't wipe them out, but I think it's in the writer's tale that Russell T. Davis mentions the fact that whenever they do kind of alien CGI, it can only be on screen for a maximum of about 7 seconds.
Oh. Is that because if they play anymore, they've got to pay royalties, yeah?
Yeah, they have to pay royalties to the aliens. No, but there was something to do with the fact that I think it was, I can't remember, that was it the mill or something, the company, could the CGI was of such a kind of quality that you only ever got up to 7 seconds of an alien in one kind of cut scene. I don't know why.
Okay.
Oh. He mentions it in the writer's tale. But I remember every time I was watching episodes from now on, I used to do this kind of 7, 6, 5, 4... I can't remember. I'll need to reread it, but there was a reason. I don't know if it was the costing of it or something. And I don't know why, you know.
Oh, he does that well.
Oh, that's painful.
I'm guessing if you can probably do, like you said, it's about cuts and stuff. If you do one single camera shot, as it was then, that's probably quite easy to CGI. And then the close-up of the face you can probably chuck in because that's not much extra work. But you can't then do like an Avengers-style full-on battle. Although they do with Daleks in space. You tend to get loads of those buggers.
But I think the difference with that is the fact that the Daleks in space is a completely CGI'd scene. As opposed to seeing...
You're not implanting CGI into the real world, so to speak. That makes sense.
Yes, but no.
Morgan likes this bit.
It's wrong how attracted I am to the gothic girls behind him.
If it's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Oh, yeah, sure. They're going to kill me, but hey, you only live once, literally. I wonder how many people actually had those umbrellas back in the day.
7.
Oh,
She does sinister and nasty very well. He just comes across as foppish.
Thank you. That was the term I was looking for when I was looking at him earlier. Yeah, foppish.
Yeah.
Foppish. It's a good word.
Thank you. Ah, this is... I do like this scene, because it's... This is where he does his cleverest man in the room bit, but without being arrogant about it.
Yeah, I think he did that better than Tennant, because Tennant...
I think you're right.
Yeah. And also, you always kind of believed Matt Smith more when he gave them a chance to give up. Whereas, you know, it sounded like David Tennant was just saying it. Oh, I know that. I'm going to have to kill you in 20 minutes.
Yeah. He still carried the anger of John Hurtwee, as we now call him.
John
Hurtwee. That's the best name ever. He still carried that anger through, so you always didn't quite know how long it was going to be before he decided to sod it and just kill everything anyway. Yeah. But Smith kept the whole killing the last resort thing far more to the fore, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I met her once at a Sisters of Mercy gig.
Dressed like that?
Yeah. It was the headdress that gave it away.
See, this is where this has been amazing before, but they don't seem, at this point, Stephen Moffat didn't seem to know what the silence was.
Yeah. Always an issue with multi-series arcs.
Yeah.
You do need to write stuff down and put it on a post-it and make sure the post-it doesn't fall off. It's very important.
And it's just reminded me of something else in this season, which they then kind of... There's something specific that happens in the penultimate episode, I think it is, that's dropped, and then I'll completely forget at the time when it comes up, but there's something that happens and they didn't like something about it and they dropped it.
See, I can kind of forgive them doing stuff like that in, say, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip or Dollhouse, where two-thirds of the way through the series you suddenly find out you're being canned.
Yeah.
So you just cut storylines as best you can to try and tie everything else up. And Studio 60, I think, actually handled that quite well. So that I understand. But when it's a multi-story arc thing, you've got space and time to correct stuff if you balls it up.
Yeah.
You know, Lost could have completely just given up the minute the polar bear turned up. No, bless them, they soldiered on. He's actually quite... I think this is the other thing. Tennant didn't quite do threatening because it came over as just angry. Whereas because Matt Smith is more boyish and childlike, when he does do threatening, it's actually more sinister, I think.
A good man goes towards a good example of that.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, no, I mean, I think... And if you rewatch season two, it was almost like Tennant was contracted to a scene where he was kind of going, "Oh, I'm doing, well, I'm talking," you know, and he would just try and do that turn from, I'm having a bit of a laugh, and no, I'm really annoyed at you, Nick, and you're just got tiring very quickly.
I'm very angry.
I mean, Matt Smith is up there as one of my favourites, and it's because I just thought he actually had you half convinced that he might not be human.
Yeah, he definitely had that otherworldly quality to him, didn't he?
Now, I don't think even Capaldi hit as well, but got kind of closer.
Well, I think because Capaldi, they were going obviously for the older Doctor.
Yeah.
And I thought Capaldi did really well in kind of bolting back into his older selves, who he grew up watching.
Yeah.
And I think they did they did that and made him that more world weary, I've been around the block a time or 12, yep, really, really well. It was I still think it was an odd move for this show, but I loved it. And I loved him as the Doctor. I thought, and I do think, as you said, he was stiffed a bit with some of the storylines, and he was also stiffed a bit having to deal with bloody Clara. But I think we'll get to this, but I think I liked him. I thought he was good.
I liked him too, and I still stand by the fact that I think Clara worked better with Capaldi than she did with Smith.
Yeah, but that's kind of like saying that, you know, the barn burnt down slightly better than just the hay. I mean, yes, it's technically true, but neither one is enjoyable. Oh, detective work. I like this.
Yeah.
That's also where, this is on the few times I actually catch a bit of dialogue, because I normally have the volume turned down, where they again kind of dial down the sexuality of the Doctor.
This is true.
He finds the whole thing a bit, yeah.
It's all messy.
Yeah, don't do that. This is what happens when you're watching the actual TV. One of your co-hosts disappears. Where the fuck's he gone? Hello, Morgan.
I don't know.
Yeah, he went away.
He's just vanished.
This is where we find out that cat tower is actually his TARDIS.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, God, it's the rocket. God, I was scared for a second. Aren't you supposed to be watching this episode, Morgan, rather than playing with your rocket?
No, I went to buy something. He comes back.
Which is weird, because John's also just gone off to quickly play with his rocket, so... Sorry, Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Your dad will explain that joke when you get back.
If he doesn't.
Oh, there's the cat. Hello, cat.
There's the cat here. No, Guido, what are you doing? Apart from being called Guido. It's called Guido.
You've called your cat Guido?
No, that guy's name's Guido.
Oh, right. I was going to say, I didn't think the cat was called Guido.
That's called Mia Purdy.
I'm going to just take a quick moment to doff my proverbial cap. I don't wear caps. To the esteemed Dottie Winters, who has got the best approach to naming pets ever. One of her cats is called Margaret Catwood. They got a new dog a couple of years back who is now called Rosa Barks.
Nice.
And there is a third one kicking around, and I can't remember the name of that one, but she comes up with the best pet names ever.
What's that?
Oh, Frida Catto, that was it.
That is good.
Just utterly superb.
What's she
doing? Oh, see, she does that kind of regal, nasty thing quite well.
Uh-oh.
Who's playing with a keyboard?
Dummy, I don't have a keyboard.
This is where we find Laura's multitasking and twitching at the same time.
Never.
Hey, it can be done. I managed to get a newspaper out today and still win the title with Arsenal.
I got a newspaper out today. It was over there. I took it out.
Well done. Very, very good. Today was a less busy day, so I managed to get some Footy Manager in as well.
Hey.
Today was productive. Produced a newspaper and won the title with Arsenal. Fourth in a row. Don't mind me.
Nice.
Yep. The board are really pissed off that I keep refusing to renew my contract. I want to go become a free agent and go somewhere else. I turned down the Real Madrid job as well.
I believed you until that point.
I did. I gave them some really stupid answers and they still offered me the job. So I just made some unrealistic wage demands and they turned me down. Solved that problem. My life in Footy Manager is far more glamorous than my real life.
Well, that'd be pretty rubbish if you was in the less glamorous. You know, it's just kind of, God, that's so mundane.
I was talking to someone else about this recently. I can get so caught up in this game. There was an occasion when, not long after I've been introduced to it, I've been playing it for quite a lot of days on the trot. And I was driving home from work one day, really, really excited at the prospect, and I can't remember the player's name now. You know, of a couple of players, I was really looking forward to them making their Liverpool debuts at the weekend. And I was halfway home and I realised that, no, that it was just in the game and I'd bought them for the team I was managing at the time. They were never going to be actually playing for Liverpool. I also went through this very weird period where I would sign a player for Liverpool and then they'd play for Liverpool in real life. I began to think I had some sort of control over the whole thing. The problem I've got now is I can't manage Liverpool at the moment because in order to take over playing as Liverpool, I'd have to sack Klopp and I refuse.
Mine?
I'm not sacking Klopp, he's amazing.
Now, why would you have to?
Well, because when you go in and you decide to start managing that club, then obviously the manager who's in situ at the moment gets the boot.
Right.
So all the games from 2016 onwards have had Klopp as Liverpool manager. So the last time I took over straight away as Liverpool manager was when Roy Hodgson was in charge, and that gave me far more satisfaction than was reasonable. In fact, I actually went out and bought that version of the game just so I could get Roy Hodgson in the sack. It was brilliant.
This is where Bernie gets killed. Bless you.
Does he? Is that here?
No.
No, not at all.
No, I didn't think so. I don't pay a lot of attention, but... Okay.
Oh, now sunlight works.
Yes, how bizarre. Again, Moffat. Kind of fascinated that I'm slightly ahead of at least one of you. They didn't really kiss, her hair got in the way. I don't believe any of this is real anymore. That's quite a nice shot, actually.
Well, it would be if it wasn't CGI to all hell.
Well, yeah, but the lighting aspect, the total bit of the background set against the lighting of the actual tower, I thought looked quite nice.
Yeah, I can definitely hear somebody's episode.
Do what?
I can hear somebody's episode in that.
Yeah, and it's not me, so I'm guessing it must be Laura's volume's up more than normal.
On which side? On you or on the actual programme?
Well, whichever. I'm guessing you watching. Are you watching the episode with the volume up?
It's on minimal.
Ah, must be John then. Someone's.
I'll turn it right down.
We're all picking up someone's volume from somewhere.
I've got earphones in.
Hmm?
What?
I've got earphones in.
So what?
My earphones aren't picking up with the laptop, so.
It might have been me.
We don't believe in Bluetooth in West Bromwich.
I don't believe it exists.
Never seen it?
No. Can you buy it in a shop? No. When it turns out in Pound World, then we'll start having a conversation. Is it wrong that I was quietly proud of my flu jab joke?
Your blue jab?
My flu jab.
Try your flu jab.
Yeah. It's a shame they can't do your flu jab by Bluetooth. It'd make life a lot easier.
Yet.
I was talking today about buying stuff digitally. I was just saying, I'm buying more stuff kind of digitally now, like books, films, etc. I was just saying... The only thing that stops it is that you can't get digital downloads of beer.
That's surely only a matter of time, isn't it?
Not as yet.
I mean, what would actually be a lot easier and a lot simpler is, rather than trying to download 5G signals into your brain, they could just inject the chemicals that beer infuses into you anyway. So you haven't got to waste time opening a can, pouring it, drinking it, going to the loo regularly. You can just have all the feelings and emotions and get pissed in half an hour. It'd be brilliant.
Oblivion direct to your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Far, far more effective than anything Channel 5 has achieved.
Nice.
Is it me or does Amy Pond get wet quite a lot? Don't.
Excuse me?
Don't. I realised too late where that
was. Where you were saying, yes.
Yes, I normally get there a lot quicker. I'm tired.
Her surname is Pond.
Yeah, she seems to get rained on quite a lot. We do seem to have wet hair days quite a lot with Amy Pond.
I'm sure that's a program.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's almost certainly a film called Amy Pond Gets Wet, but I don't think it's allowed on BBC.
The sequel to Come Along Pond.
Actually, I don't think... Oh, no, I was going to say, I don't think anyone's done a parody, but they have done a parody of...
They have,
yeah.
We'll talk about it later. I'm not talking about
it. I don't think we need to. I think we understand. It's not one we'll ever be doing a podcast on. Well, that does confirm a couple of things I'd long suspected.
Did I get that way after the premises I've got the most bread to you ever?
And you're at it.
That's an awful lot of waves, for want of a better word, for someone just diving in and becoming a fish and disappearing.
Disappear.
I mean, that's Bond, James Bond car levels of splooshing.
She dove in.
Did you intentionally go Bond, James Bond there, or was that just a random slip?
It was a random slip, but I'm...
Okay, cool. I thought it was.
Yeah. No, that was me stumbling over my wordage.
That's actually how that phrase came into being, was Sean Connery stumbled line, and it's like, keep that. The name's Bond. James Bond.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that makes more sense than any other explanation you're going to get. Yeah, you are. I think that's kind of where they started establishing Amy as quite a strong character as well. Got my spaceship, got my boys. She was kind of actually really in charge. Which I liked. What's the secret in the key?
Oh! Oh, and I have one of my favourite episodes coming up.
Excellent.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, this is such a good episode.
It is an excellent episode.
Excellent, excellent episode.
Is it on our list?
Huh?
Is this one on our list?
Yep.
Excellent. First, I didn't think it was on the list.
I thought it was. I'm pretty sure it was. It better be.
Yep, it is. I've downloaded all the episodes we need.
I made the list.
Yep.
I would not miss out on an absolute classic like Amy's Choice.
Well, you say that. You missed out on an absolute classic, The Vampires of Venice. So
I did, and
honestly, that is the least I've paid attention to an episode since we've been doing this. And that, given some of the episodes that we've done.
That's quite a statement, because you've paid not much attention to a couple of these.
I've paid not much attention to some of the ones I really like.
I know, I don't know what it is about Vampires of Venice. I get that it looks lovely. It's just...
Well, having now watched it again, I'm still struggling to remember why on earth I thought putting it on the list was a good idea. But it is kind of fun, I think.
Yeah, it is a throwaway episode of Doctor Who, but at the same time it's not, because it's done better than most, you know.
Yeah.
Go back to the first half of series 3. With like the Dalek two-parter wasn't supposed to be a throwaway, but it just ended up being, because it was just terrible. But like Gridlock or something like that, which is just supposed to be, this is just an episode with a big bit at the end. And Doctor obviously does that a lot. This was just an episode.
Yeah, but this...
there was nothing to it, and it's done better than a lot of the episodes where that's the case, and it's just supposed to be a filler and nothing else.
Well, this is what I was about to say, because they obviously. Even in the old days, they had filler stories. They just went over 4 episodes or 6 episodes rather than 1 episode. And is it series 3 or series 4 that you've basically wiped out the first half from your memory?
Series 3.
That
series 3 is one of my favourite series, but the first half is just like meh.
Yeah, but that I think is stronger.
It's inconsequential.
Yeah, but that episode is stronger than anything the first half of series 3 throws up, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's got a bit of drama, it's got tension.
Smith and Jones, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that episode. Has Morgan got bored and wandered off now?
She's away for a glass of water.
Yeah, good girl.
The three standout scenes for me, and that, well, actually, I quite like the way it ends as well, but the standout scenes for me is the Doctor jumping out of Rory's cake. I think that's quite cool,
yep.
Even though Rory's got too many pals. The next one is when the Doctor kind of flashes his library card. And
library card. That's what he calls it.
Yeah.
The scene that I hated in Jonathan Ross, just because, but actually liked in the context of this. And then there's the fight between Rory and the kind of, as you said, foppish guy, who basically is walking away and then decides to turn around. Because Rory says something about his mum and says, "Are you talking about mummy?" And I just think those ones stand out. I also like it because I quite like Rory in it in general.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons that we watched this episode was probably because we felt uncomfortable about the way the last episode ended, with Amy pretty much coming on to the Doctor. And this kind of is almost like a bit of a palate cleanser after that.
You could be right, yeah. Because I think it's... Because I'm as discussed, I'm no fan of Rory's. I find him bland and pointless and annoying. But he did kind of hold his own.
I've been hanging around you too long.
Do what?
I've been hanging around you too long because I've just in my head started playing No Fan of Rory's to the tune of Genesis's No Son of Mine.
My work here is done.
I quite like Rory.
You're no fan. You're no fan of Rory's.
Considering the first lyric in that song is "The years they pass so slowly," it fits into a T.
It does totally. It's just Rory sitting. I'm waiting for Amy to come back. But no, I know you two are very fond of. I just don't think he's that good an actor, and I don't think he's that good a character. And I think it was just kind of chucked in for shits and giggles. But I think that episode overall, in terms of the period episodes we've watched and the history episodes they've done, I think that works better on a rewatch, without a doubt.
Yeah, no, it's a fine episode. It's just meh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just one of those contained stories, which, like, maybe season 10 did a lot better.
Yeah, possibly.
Season 10 was not a lot of contained stories, although technically it was. Compare it to season 11, which was just a load of contained stories and nothing else.
Yep.
And it's a lot better. A lot better. So.
There we go. We're
basically comparing an episode from 2011 to one from 2018. 2017?
Yeah.
And basically saying that this pisses all over the new stuff.
Do you know what? We started off on a very, very heavy note and we've ended up with some proper analysis.
I know.
I don't know what's happened to us today. It's a weird world.
I wonder if I'll be so impressed.
I mean, she's going to be absolutely shocked as she discovers we've actually been talking about the episode. I don't think we can top that, so let's end it there for tonight. Next episode is, as mentioned, Amy's Choice, which we are looking forward to, and which we do in the next few days. In the meantime, it has been John over there.
Bye.
Morgan somewhere in the background, and Laura over there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we shall see you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Cool.